Welcome to the Home Spa Beauty Podcast. Today is a meant-to-be episode, when our conversation is not necessarily about the beauty industry or its surrounding areas, but it's definitely about someone's journey and those key moments that were clearly meant to be. Today I'm speaking with Chris Franken, author of Wild Hearty Purpose. We had a great chat about her move from Canada to Australia, about being pulled to where you feel that you really need to live, where you're being called by the wild. Chris talks about Mother Nature, about spirituality, and there are so many things that when she speaks about them, they just make you feel calm. You completely understand exactly what she means. She talks about the climate in a non-scary way, talks about nature in a way that is just so easy to relate to. And she's also very inspiring in helping you to understand why you will find out exactly where your path lies and where you need to go. When you hear about people talking about callings and about paths and about destiny, sometimes you don't know if you can relate to it, but Chris makes it so understandable. I hope you enjoy your chat. Chris, it is lovely to speak with you. I am really interested in your history and just even reading the website, all of the things that you do. You also made this huge move, didn't you? Do you want to fill us in on how it came to be and how it led to the book?
Yeah, sure. And thank you so much for having me here. It's really lovely to connect with you and your beautiful voice. I just love your accent so much.
Well, thank you.
I was born in Canada. And my dad moved around a lot with his business. We ended up in Sydney and Melbourne and Detroit and back in Sydney. I thought I was settled in Sydney for good. And then 4 years ago, actually just over 5 years ago, I made a joke to my husband that because we'd both decided we were going to be working from home, that we should move up to Byron Bay. We moved up to Byron, lived by the ocean for 3 years. And then just out of nowhere, I just felt the pull to be in the valley, to be in the mountains, to be in the rainforest. Around Byron Bay, we have such beautiful, luscious everything, just rainforest and hills, and it's quite wild in places. And so I don't know where it came from. It was just a sudden knowing that this is where we needed to be. And then a year ago, we moved out here and we live in a beautiful valley, and it is quite wild, and I feel very connected to the elements. And that's all a part of the book, writing a book about living in the wild. It's really, I guess, quite helpful if you can have some experience. Yes.
Again, was it a no-brainer to then write the book once you settled in after you'd felt that pull?
Actually, the book started to kind of write itself about 2 months before I got the nudge. So in about April of, I'm guessing it was 2021, I felt this idea come through to write a book about soul purpose that was unlike any other book about soul purpose. I really wanted it to be really different and really grounded. And so when Mother Nature came through and said, I'll write it with you, here's some ideas. Why don't we take the reader on a journey every chapter, and we can take them into the wild. They can learn something about themselves in the wild. And then we can explore that and the lessons that they can take from that to live on purpose and to live closer to their own wild heart. And so the book started to unfold really quite slowly. And then in about June or July, I remember getting a really solid nudge to leave the beautiful suburbia that we were in, close to the beach. We weren't unhappy at all. And then to live out in the wild. And so then the process of moving out here and finishing the book kind of synced up. Once I landed here, then it was time to edit the book. So that's when I really got to add in a whole lot more texture to the book, I guess you'd say, to really bring in some stories of what I have been living through in the last year, to really add that into the book, because it felt like I had been called out into the wild. And I guess that's what the book is all about, is calling people back into the wild, not always literally, but into the wilderness within them to discover what's in them.
And, you know, just even reading again what people have said about the book too, they say that your spiritual side and your calming and your nurturing side really comes through. Something that's just came through to me just now, people are so concerned about the climate. And obviously you've got that sliding scale of people that are terrified versus the people that are more nuanced about it. What do you think people could take from the book that want to connect more with nature and connect more with themselves and almost like calm themselves down if they are reading so many different things from so many different places?
Yeah, I love how you've put that. I think it's so true. A lot of people are scared. And the more I take my focus off of the news of the world and social media and get out into the garden and actually plant some herbs, some fruit trees, a whole lot of vegetables, and really connect in person with my community, the more that I create a more tangible life for myself. That is, I mean, I love being on screens. I love creating on screens. I love collages. I love podcasts. I love writing. There's so much to love about the internet. But when we really create those loving boundaries and say, okay, I need to find out what's going on in my world. And I do that by going outside. And I do that by checking in with my family and friends. And while it's understandable to be terrified and to be in fear, just know that that's a really important process for us all to move through. I have personally had a few dark nights of the soul in the last few years because of what's been going on, but I know that that is perhaps past lives, ancestral, childhood, a whole mixed bag of fears just coming to the surface to say, okay, it's time that you see me now. It's time that you let me go now, because we're moving into a new age and none of that is coming with us. So to really, you know, sit down and have a cup of tea with everything that's coming up within me and say, why are you here? And I'm okay and I feel safe. And the more I spend time outside, the safer I feel. Now, I've always been a city girl, so even saying something like that out loud is quite crazy to me, because it's like, how can I go outside in the middle of a storm? How can I go outside knowing that there's snakes out there, that there's foxes out there, knowing that there's just, it's so unpredictable outside, but yet the more time I spend out there, the safer I feel, the more I feel like I'm creating something for my children as well. And that can really help people if they're worried about what to do next. Create something for your community that can really help them and create something for the next generation, whether that's a food forest or a community garden, whether that is anything else that can benefit the community in any way, that can benefit people for years to come. It really takes the focus off, not that you want to ignore the personal fears that are arising at all. You want to really lovingly open up to them. But I think spending too much time on that can really deepen it unnecessarily. And if you can spend time creating something that is for the highest good of the people around you, then for me, like, that is something that really helps, because anything you can do with your hands is a way of somatically processing what's going on for you as well.
So do you think with wild-hearted purpose, that would be good for someone who is feeling that pull, but they maybe don't know where to start?
I think it is, because the book is really, it's a really gentle but deep dive into why are we here and why are we here at this time. So it's not your average book about purpose that looks at career and goals and five-year goals and making plans and making money and where to invest the money. And that's not what I go into at all. I'm all for all of that. If that's people's paths, then really embrace that. But the book is more about feeling lost and coming back home to yourself and going, okay, and this can happen at any stage in your life, coming back home to yourself and saying, okay, why am I here? What is it about me that's so unique, that's so beneficial, that's gifted, that's able to serve other people? And what is it about me that is so wild that maybe I've been ignoring it because it's really expansive? Maybe it's really abundant and I've been overlooking it, or I've been scared of it. And so then the book is a really gentle way that I and Mother Nature want to take people's hands and say, hey, you've already got this. You've already got this within you. Don't worry about what anyone else is saying. And I mean, anyone else is saying, just come back to your heart every single day, every single season, every single moment, come back in and say, how am I doing? And what are some processes? The book is all about processes and journal prompts and rituals. And there's so much in there that can help people step by step, just really create their own path and create their own purpose, no matter where they're at or no matter what's getting them, you know, feeling stuck or unsure.
And do you think that being in Australia helps with that? Because we have this idea that they've got the work-life balance a bit better, but you yourself said that you still felt that there was a need to move to different locations within Australia. So do you think that as a place it does help? It's got, it just feels as if it's got a vibe to us that haven't been there. Would you agree with that?
I think Australia is a really special country, and really I love the people here. I love the culture here. But I think like any culture in any country on earth, there's definite ways in which we kind of stop each other, and there's ways in which we encourage each other. I love how easygoing Australians are. I love how laid back we are and how much we love being outside, because the weather and the climate is beautiful for having that relaxed lifestyle. But, you know, I touch on this in the book somewhere, because this is something that's really spoken to me, is that when I travel to the US and Canada, I meet people who are so vibrantly supportive of each other and everything that they do, and they will help each other out in any way possible to help them achieve whatever it is that they desire, success or financial freedom or community, or even, you know, people who are looking at reforestation. It's this whole incredible mindset that Americans and Canadians often have. And it's a really powerful and empowering part of their culture. Whereas in Australia, we have what I call the tall poppy syndrome. And that is, if you get a little bit too high, a little bit too successful, a little bit too well known, people kind of expect you to go to the US to then go and make it over there, rather than just living here and being relaxed and being hugely successful. So I'm not sure that we are, you know, deserving of being the envy of everywhere else. And I know in the UK has such a different vibe. So everywhere that I've traveled to, I've picked up on something that I think is quite magical. And I know Australians, we give out this vibe that we're all organic and we're all spending time on the beach and we're all and while I do love it and there's nowhere else in the world I'd rather live, I think everyone has a way of really exploring their own bliss in their own place.
And again, that makes sense with when you were saying that you were pulled to exactly the right location for yourself. Do you still have those moments where you think, oh, that's a breakthrough? That's the first time that's happened. That's the first time I've felt this way. Because when you read about yourself and that, you're so, it looks as if you've sussed so much of it out and you're so well trained in your area and you're so good at explaining it all, but do you still get those moments and you're like, little breakthrough there?
Thank you. That's really lovely to say. Yes, I definitely do. I have new experiences all the time. I have new awareness all the time. I have new spirit guides coming in. I have new ways of working with people. I have new ideas for books and cards and creations. And but spiritually speaking, yeah, I mean, I really do find a lot of new ways. And I think what's really exciting about this new age, and they call it the age of light, and a lot of people look at it as the age of technology. And if you look at technology and really unpack what that means, it doesn't just mean the internet. It doesn't just mean computers. It doesn't just mean anything derived from a plug in the wall or Wi-Fi. Technology is in an ancient crystal, an ancient rock. Technology is in the earth, and that is changing every single day. Technology is in the sun, in the stars, and in the beings that we can surround ourselves with. And lately I've been having like really big wow moments when I sit down with like a few star beings who are working a lot with humanity at the moment, like not from different places around the galaxy, but actually, yes, they are from different, but a lot of them are actually on Earth and they're staying on Earth now because Earth can support their frequency a lot more and they're working with humanity a lot more. And the more I can tune into them and their intelligence, or what I can gather with my human mind, right, of their intelligence and their technology, the more I can actually work with that on myself and see how that flows out to the land around me and to the people around me and how I can use that technology, it really blows my mind. I think there's a lot coming for us to connect with in the next, well, many years to come. But in the next few years, the next sort of 5 to 10 years, I think we're going to be really blown away by the kind of developments that we're going to see to help us with. I mean, we look at solar power. There's so much more that the sun can do. There's so much more that crystals can do in terms of healing us. And I get so excited about that when new things land. Yeah.
Yeah, I love this. So you're making me feel too really optimistic about the here and now, because everyone's so down on today's world. But you're making me see it in a different way, that actually there's a lot of positivity. And it just, I think we need people like you, because all too often it's the bad news and it's the doom forecasting that takes precedence. So do you actually feel that there's a lot to be said for living in the present?
The present is where the magic is, and it's all about the present. That's exactly it. And that's how I stay hopeful, is that I don't worry too much about what's going on in the world. I like to know, but I don't like to dwell on it. And if I do hear about bad news or something that's really difficult that's going on, whether it's due to the climate or whether it's due to people's greed or wherever it's come from, I try and drop out of that fear. I don't like to hold on to it. And I just send a prayer to the angels to take care of the situation, and I bless the situation, and then I can actually walk away from it without taking any fear with me. I am so hopeful about what is happening right now on Earth and what is happening within humanity. And what I know is that in my own life, whenever I focus on the present moment, whether it's through meditation or it's through planting flowers or it's through having a really honest conversation with a friend or a loved one, then I find something magic opens up within me, and I'm able to connect to, I guess I'd call it the higher purpose of humanity right now, because what we all signed up for, and, you know, so many of us have so many different roles. We're not all here to be spiritual. We're not all here to be light workers or whatever people want to call those of us who are kind of aware on a different level of what's going on. I think we all have really unique roles in this process, but I am so excited about what's coming. And I don't think a lot of it's going to be necessarily easy, but the challenges are there to really crack us open. The challenges are there to really show us what's been holding us back and our ancestors back and what we can do. We're like the bridge between the two ages, and the children that are coming through now, you can kind of see them as these little light beings, and they're not having any of the old ways. And so it's the children that I feel are the driving force. So when we look at like aging politicians and we look at aging people who are still trying to keep us either trapped or conditioned or whatever it is, I like to focus my attention on the children, not just nature, but on the kids of today, because they are little firecrackers, and they're here to be the change, to be the next age. And you're absolutely right about the present moment. That's where all the power, all the magic, all the hope, anything that you need is in that moment.
It is so refreshing to speak to you. It really is. And I admire that you can tune into all these different frequencies, and you've got that gift. Have you always had the gift, or is it something that you had and you didn't realize, or it presented itself to you when you were older?
Yeah, I feel like I've always been intuitive, but I haven't been so connected to the higher realms till I was, I would say, around 40. I'm 46 this year. And so when I grew up in the church, and I think what that did for me is it gave me a really great understanding of, you know, because there is a lot in the Bible that really anchored me into a lot of truths about the multi-dimensional universe and the many aspects of ourselves. So when I look back on that time, I'm really grateful. There's a lot of, I guess, connection to Jesus or Yeshua and Mary Magdalene and some of the other masters that are featured in there. And although things have been maybe adjusted in the Bible quite a bit so that it's been used sort of to condition us to a different way of thinking, I think it was a really great beginning for me. When I was in my 20s, I started to explore spiritual teachings, but I don't really feel like I had any access to any kind of channeling or any psychic realms in that stage. In my 30s, I began to feel it, and I really, really deeply felt my intuition. And I know that there was a lot of talk about intuition at the time. And I remember people saying, oh, it's so vague. It's so whimsical. It comes and it goes. No one knows where it comes from. And I thought, well, no, wait, what? I really wanted to explain it. So I did a lot of research into intuition, instinct and insight. And I wrote a book about it in 2019. But when I was 40, which was a bit before then, I studied Reiki and I visited Mount Shasta in California, and I had all this series of awakenings within myself. And then what really quickly unfolded was the ability to connect with like a council of light and my ancestors and star beings and masters, and that all came quite easily to me. Although when I say easy, I consider my clairvoyance skills to be the strongest skills that I have, but they're so vague, it's so faint. I can't really explain to people how faint it is, but I trust it and I listen and I love synchronicities and I love symbols. And so I love to weave how spirit is speaking to me in so many different ways. But it's definitely been more recent than it didn't crop up in my childhood at all, no.
I find that it's so interesting. I think I believe as I get older, I probably was more frightened of it as a child. And then you see other people and they say that they were more connected as a child. And I think some of us do a flip and I was probably frightened of the unknown, not wanting a sign. But now I'm much more open to it. And you do hear stories of people that as a child, they would speak to someone and their parents would say they're genuinely talking to someone here. And then as an adult, they seem to have completely lost it. So it's fascinating to me. So it's definitely for you been as you've gotten older, it's sort of become a bit stronger.
Definitely. I do remember though, I was about 17 or 18 years old and I was at university and I had this experience in the middle of the city of Sydney. I was about to cross a road. I was jaywalking, like not waiting for my my moment. And I was right in the middle of a very, very busy city. And I went to step out onto the road and this really big hand grabbed my shoulder and pulled me back. And as it did, a bus went straight past my nose and I was in absolute shock that I almost got hit by a bus so severely. When I turned around, and it was such a big hand, and when I turned around to thank the person who had saved my life, there was only a few women there and they weren't even looking at me. And none of them could possibly have had a hand that large, like absolutely impossible. So there was something, and I know my mum was very much connected, even though she was in the church. I know my mum was very connected, and I know that she would talk about her grandmother who read tea leaves and she was quite psychic. And so there were clues along the way, which I look back and I think, wow, I didn't know what was going on, but I trusted it. I trusted in something that was bigger than I was. And I kind of knew that there was a God that was a lot softer than the image portrayed in the Bible. But it took me a long time to reclaim the word God. You know, like I think for a lot of people who grew up in the church, it's the same, or they never use it again. But yeah.
And do you feel that there are people, well, do you actually know that there are people that have gotten contact with you after reading your books, or maybe they follow you on social media and you've had an impact on them? Do they let you know?
It's probably the most beautiful thing. I get a message through Instagram or through my email of people who, like with my first book, people who were saying it really felt like I was just speaking just to them, and that the book landed in their lap exactly when they needed it, and it helped them to realize that they weren't crazy or making things up, that they were actually a highly intuitive person and that they are psychic like everyone is. And so I really feel like my books give people permission to access their inner knowing in a way that is really self-trusting and self-loving. And the few messages that I've received from people, I mean, they blow me away. I feel so grateful. So this last book, Wild Hearted Purpose, came out just a couple of weeks ago. There have been a few reviews and there have been a few friends who have reached out and said that it's just really moving for them to feel something stirring within them. And my point with my books and my messages is never to give advice and never to tell people what to do. It's only ever to give them permission to do the thing that they know that they're here to do or that they want to do, to follow their curiosities.
That is such a lovely place to end. Would you like to share your website and your social so that people can check out the book too? And I must say, I have read some of the little quote reviews and they've been, again, so positive and so inspiring. And I think that there's no doubt that you're radiating it to me too. You've got that relaxation style of inspiration where you calm us down and make us think that we want to go and do things. I think that's a lovely combination. So yeah, if you can give us your website and your socials, that'd be perfect.
That is so beautiful. Oh, I'm so glad you're recording this. That's okay. Divine. Thank you so much for that reflection. My website is chrisfranken.com, chrisfranken.com. And there you can find free meditations that I've recorded for Insight Timer. You can find my books. You can find my oracle cards. You can connect with me one-on-one and we can talk about soul purpose or any way that you're feeling lost at all. And the only social that I'm on is Instagram. I'm all over Pinterest. Apparently that's not social media. So if you want to connect on social media, it's just Chris Franken. You'll find me on Instagram or you can find that through the website as well.
Oh, Chris, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much. It's just been so wonderful to connect with you and thank you for making time to bring this together. I really appreciate you and I love your podcast.